It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and it's Friday. So you know that that means we are bringing you This Week in Bachelor Nation. We got some screams that we're going to issue forth. We have a scream from our Discord, which you can access on patreon.com/gameofroses. You just go into that Discord channel, issue forth your scream, and we might play it in our Screams from the Pit. The one we have today is a doozy, to be sure. And we're also going to tell you all those parasocial plays. We're going to go through all the gains. We're going to go through all those tids in Bachelor Nation news. And before we get to any of that, of course, we have to tell you that How to Win the Bachelor is currently available for pre-order. This is a book that we have spent 2 years of our lives on. We have delved deep into the Bachelor, deeper than we ever thought possible. And the fruits of that labor are in this book, How to Win the Bachelor. If you go pick it up right now for pre-sale, you can enter a contest. You go to howtowinthebachelor.com, upload your pre-order receipt, and you will be in the running to win some of these prizes. 15 people are going to get autographed copies of the book, autographed by Pace Case and I, to be very clear. 5 people are going to get autographed copies of the book and a private Zoom with Pace Case and myself. 3 people are going to get autographed copy of the book, that Zoom with Pace Case and myself, and a contraband t-shirt that we produced en masse but did not sell. And no one knows what this is except us and the 3 people who are going to get it. And then 1 lucky winner is going to get the autographed copy of the book, the Zoom with Pace Case and myself, the contraband t-shirt, and a very special prize that, to my knowledge, exists in only 1 version of itself. And we are going to make another version of it, and someone else will also have it. So let that mean what it means to you. But I think whoever gets it is going to really enjoy it. And so in order to try and get any of these prizes, you have to pre-order the book, then go to howtowinthebachelor.com, upload that receipt, and you will be in the running for it.
Contest number 2 is we have a goal for the entire pit. We have a goal of reaching 10,000 pre-orders of the book. And at various stages, we have different prizes. At 25%, Clues is going to release the world release of the song Bottom of the Pit. At 50%, we're going to do an IG Live from the Shadow of the Mansion. At 75%, we are going to do a Hooju competition. And at 100%, there is a mystery prize. And these are prizes that are benefiting the whole pit. So help us along with those goals if you have the means.
Except the Hooju competition. That is not benefiting the whole pit. That is actually detrimental to me. It is benefiting everyone else but me.
I can't believe how much you're loading this IFI. Clues is gonna fake an injury fear or illness play during the Hooju competition. He keeps saying it.
I'm not gonna fake anything.
You're an athlete. You run down Wilshire Boulevard.
Jogging is very different from Hooju. Hooju is like a fucking Olympic sport. I'm going to try my hardest. And if I get injured, so be it. That's part of this. That's part of the sacrifice I'm willing to make to the pit.
It's a jog and 1 jump.
Yeah. That's more jumping than I do ever at this point.
I don't do any cardio. So I'm at a disadvantage, I would say, in the running portion.
No, it's not like you're fucking running a marathon. It's a kind of a sprint. It's a quick jog at most. And then you have to do the jump. The jumping and the clinging and all that is where the injury is going to come in.
Whatever. I like that you're trying to hedge it already. We're not even close to the 75%.
I'm not trying to hedge shit. I'm going all out. I'm going to win this fucking competition. That you can be assured of. And everyone in the pit will judge the competition, by the way. When we do this contest, this Hooju off, we will make videos of the Hoojus. We will put those Hoojus videos on our Instagrams. And you can get voting on them. And we will have a definitive winner of this Hooju contest. But only if we get to 75% of our goal. We are right now at about 10% where it stands. So we have a little ways to go. This contest will conclude sometime in December. But we thank you all for participating in both of these contests. And we look forward to, I guess, we don't look forward to the Hooju contest. I kind of do. I think it's going to be fun. I think it will be fun, even if I injure.
And by the way, if you do buy multiple copies of the book, ideally you put those on different receipts. If you haven't, it's okay. Our marketing department can sort those out, but that will help with your entering the contest.
And now that we...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in... Three body problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare. Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Have all of our business out of the way. It is time to begin This Week in Bachelor Nation as we begin all this week's Inns Bachelor's Nations. This is a segment where we talk about some wider piece of news that is happening out there in the world that is seemingly unrelated to our beloved game. And then we tell you exactly how it is directly related to our beloved game. This is
Game of Roses. State of the world.
This week, the Wall Street Journal published a groundbreaking expose on the biggest social media company in the world, Facebook. The report revealed an array of damning information uncovered in internal documents that were exposed by a whistleblower from within Facebook. The big takeaways were: Facebook has purposely designed a double standard into its procedural systems that allows about 5.8 million users to claim VIP status that exempts them from the regular enforcement process where official terms of use are concerned. These high-profile users generate high volumes of traffic and engagement and therefore return huge sums of money to Facebook, who recognizes that hindering their engagement would ultimately cost them money.
Instagram's own internal research exposed their overt knowledge that their product increases risks to teenage users' mental health. One slide in an internal presentation read, in quotes, "We make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls."
The company is 100% aware that its algorithm rewards outrage. Sensational and divisive content drives the highest level of engagement and therefore delivers the most profit to the company.
And the last big takeaway from this expose was that internal documents have shown that employees had flagged criminal use of the platform in some countries, but were met with a weak response from the company itself. So these four big bad things are what was revealed in this expose. Many people are likening this to when Big Tobacco was exposed for knowing that they were making an intentionally addictive product that had massive, massive implications on people's health. And ultimately, with Facebook, further documents cited that young teen girls openly told Facebook they felt worse about their bodies after scrolling through the site. But despite that information, Facebook is still actively pursuing a younger and younger user base, and they are in active development of a product aimed directly at children that they are internally calling Instagram Youth.
Over 36 state attorneys general have urged Mark Zuckerberg to scuttle the project, but so far there has been no indication that Facebook will prioritize the mental health of the next generation over the potential profit associated with early indoctrination. This is also very similar to the Big Tobacco findings, which is that the younger they can get people in, they'll have lifetime users.
Absolutely. And I know that this raises the alarms for a lot of people thinking that social media is inherently bad or evil. I would argue that despite all these things we've just learned, it's not social media that is bad, it's money. Social media at its face, I don't think is bad. If you look back into the early days of it, like MySpace and shit, Friendster, none of this was happening because it wasn't really monetized in the same way. Now, this is literally the biggest business on planet Earth. Hundreds of billions of dollars are generated, and they have to hook users young. They have to get our eyes on those screens as constantly as possible. And they are understanding that outrage is what drives huge engagement. They're understanding that giving people poor mental health as a result of using the product, as long as it hooks them on the product, they will keep doing that because it's making them money. If the financial incentive wasn't there, I don't think this shit would be happening.
I feel like, even without the financial incentive, let's say you don't get access to giant million Instagram plus accounts, you're just following your friends. I think there is something inherent in the social media aspect that is negative because you have this comparison game, because people are still going to Photoshop their pictures even if they're not making money.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, we're just at a point where, and I've talked about this multiple times, like we are simply uploading piecemeal into the internet at this point. We're spending more and more time on social media. And when you see like TikTok comes out, the way that algorithm works, it makes Instagram look like MySpace for a direct comparison, you know? Each successive iteration of whatever the biggest platform is more and more addictive. And I think it's because of largely the money, because we all are looking at a screen 16 hours a day, basically, some screen, your computer, your phone, your TV, and all the companies that make things to go on those screens or make platforms for people to make things to go on those screens, they're only interested in getting your attention on their version of the screen as much as they can. That's how they make the most money. And so it's a matter of, in this case, if Facebook can hook a fucking child on Instagram at age whatever, then they're much more likely to continue using that platform through adulthood because they'll already know how to use it. It will be ingrained in them.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, I think that the idea of social media is like the idea of money itself. There was a generation of humanity, most people think it was at some point in Mesopotamia, who was the first generation to have to deal with the idea of money. When the Mesopotamian government made it and told farmers, "We own your land, we will lease it back to you in exchange for this money." And they were like, "What's money?" And they're like, "Oh, it's this fucking shit we made up that's going to control your life." And so there were a few generations that were like, "I don't know. I can only assume, obviously there's no like historical record of this that I'm aware of.
You're like, this is what's going to make it easier in order to trade goats for whatever. What is an early, I can't even think of it. Eggs?
Yeah.
Eggs.
The old goat and egg barter system, it just wasn't working and they had to get some money in there.
Yeah, I don't want to have to come up with goats for eggs and then eggs for trees or whatever.
Sure.
Is this helpful? Is this instructive?
Yes, it's exactly correct. That was the conversation that was had 10,000 years ago or whatever. But I think that social media is very similar to that. We're seeing generations now indoctrinated into it from birth, basically. Whereas we are still of a generation where social media is still kind of new. But like a baby born right now, like the Aya Kennedy baby, for example, that child will have no understanding of a world without social media.
I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm completely addicted. Like, when I go and do yoga for 20 minutes, for instance, and I'm like, I'm not going to be on my phone for 20 minutes, I usually spend time like preparing myself to be away from my phone. It's crazy.
You go through all your DMs and shit. You go through everything, clear it out, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, just check everything, then go. And I've brought it to the mat before.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I would say I'm pretty addicted to it as well. I don't view it as an addiction, though. I just view it as like I'm actively pursuing my next iteration, the next version of myself, which will be purely digital.
But I mean, could you take a week off?
Of the phone?
Yeah.
Could I?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't want to, though.
I don't want to. Yeah, exactly. You're like, in theory, yeah, I could.
That really, I mean, honestly, that's one of the craziest things about our beloved game. We haven't even started talking about how this affects our beloved game yet, but
I know
this one thing that we are talking about right now, can you go a week without your phone? If you're a player, you have to go potentially 2 fucking months without your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And these players are all going in it for Instagram followers. They're all influencers or attempting to be. And so those are people who are, I would argue, even more in quotes addicted or at least more dependent on that as a form of commerce than you and I are. And they have to go for 2 fucking months without it, like cold fucking turkey.
Yeah.
There's just a day where the producers come to you and they're like, give us your fucking phone. And you don't get it back until you leave.
That's why we're seeing all the self-elimination.
It could be. I mean, shit, the amount of times I just like touch my phone or know its weight in my pocket or whatever, you know, I don't know how many that is per day. Hundreds, obviously. To not have it on your person, mm-hmm. I don't even know what that would be like.
You feel naked.
Yes, totally. But beyond that, beyond our players having to go into the game for 2 months potentially without a cell phone, how does this idea affect our beloved game? Well, it obviously affects directly all the players because Facebook owns Instagram. They literally are workers mm-hmm. for Instagram, basically, for Facebook when they come out of our beloved game. So the idea that Facebook makes money off of them as they're making money off SpawnCon and driving engagement is pretty fascinating because as much as we can hear these articles and be like, Facebook is an evil corporate entity and I can't believe they're doing this to these kids, but you're still going to look at every Bachelor player's Instagram account. You're still going to be on the platform and that ultimately is all that matters to them.
Yeah, I've been slowly trying to warm myself up to the idea of deleting my Facebook, but it's like, it has all the birthdays and it has my Vanderpump Rules podcast group and I have to use it to sign up for all this other crap.
And it's Instagram. Even if you delete your Facebook account, Instagram is Facebook. It's the same company.
Yeah, but I definitely use Instagram way more.
I know, but I'm just saying there's no escaping Facebook. They're the most dominant social media company in the world.
Right, right.
Even if you get rid of one piece of what you use from them, you're still using one of their other products constantly.
I shouldn't even bother.
There's no point. There's absolutely no point. I firmly believe that. But ultimately, there is this idea, which was also in this article, that Facebook understands toxicity is what drives engagement. When people are like mm-hmm. super outraged, that's what gets the most clicks, the most views, the most likes, whatever. And I think that idea is also very present in our beloved game. Producers are actively trying to make these moments that will drive outrage because it makes people on Instagram, fans within the nation, the fourth audience, it makes us all comment more, interact more, higher engagement, which potentially results in higher ratings. They're working on a similar kind of system that Facebook is to make people mad, to enrage us, because that's what gets us to engage with the show.
I mean, we had some of the highest level of engagement for Parasocial Plays last week were because it was various people responding to the Brendan and Piper controversy. I keep seeing in my like click on this reels, it's all people like making fun of Brendan's apology video. Like that has become its own meme in itself.
Yeah.
We're not seeing huge levels of engagement based on, you know, shipping GSJ and Serena P, for instance.
Yeah. Or Riley and Marissa, any of the successful couples, that's not what gets engagement. And if you even look at like the episode of Clickbait that we did a digging deeper on Patreon last week, that entire episode of Clickbait was basically three people who were just flatly outraged at the behavior of Brennan Marias and Piper James. It was an hour of people just being outraged. And it was the number one episode that week in TV and film. And they had the number one show that week by delivering an hour of collective outrage.
I'm going to practice more outrage.
I think we do a pretty good job. I'm not saying we're exempt from any of this. And that's the nature of being complicit. I'm addicted to all these products, just as this article is claiming, like all these people are addicted. I'm sure it has some negative effect on my mental health. I like to think that I'm like more objective about it and see it as a piece of where we're headed as a species and all this, but like, that's bullshit. I'm just fucking lying to myself. You know, like, yeah. I know that. And I'm not going to stop using it. I know that as well. And that's a part of like being complicit in Bachelor Nation, knowing how the company is making money off of people's misery. The same is true here. We're complicit in social media as well. If we all stopped using it, it wouldn't exist. That's never going to happen.
Well, I can't wait to get my kids on Instagram Youth.
I know. It's fucking crazy. Like, what is that even going to be? I don't know.
It'll be Alessi Lyon-Dyke will rule the roost.
God, I know. The Lyon-Dyke kids probably would dominate.
I mean, are you even going to have numbers on it? Like, I mean, that was part of the study. One of the studies that came out was basically saying that they had attempted, because they're very easily able to like experiment with their algorithm and see the results in real time on these things because they have such a large user base. And I guess the removing the likes was an attempt to try to curb some of this. And I guess they're not seeing that that's helping.
Yeah. I was fascinated by the thing that they said there are the 5 million MVPs or VIPs basically that are like exempt from the user guidelines. And I think when you're looking at somebody like Donald Trump, that dude probably generated more money for them than anyone ever has on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And I bet their decision to be like, fuck, we have to ban him now because Twitter did it. That was probably one of the worst days in Facebook corporate that has ever existed because that guy made them just money hand over fist constantly.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, there's like whatever, 12 people who are doing most of the vaccine misinformation. And I think a lot of them are on these lists of made men and women.
Yeah. Exactly. But that is our state of the world. Thank you for indulging. And we hope that, you know, maybe everybody takes a little bit of a second look at their relationships with social media and if they're beneficial, if they're maybe not beneficial. And then you get to decide what you're going to do about that. For me, I know it's not beneficial and I'm not doing anything. I'm going to ramp it up. All this talk about Facebook has me antsy. I need to get back on it. At any rate, we're going to move on now to the second segment of This Week in Bachelor Nation, where we talk about all the Instagram growth of the people playing our game.
You're welcome, Instagram.
It's like, we can't get away from it. We can't do it.
Here's a big ad.
Oh, shit. This is
This Week in
Games.
With the Brendan and Piper drama having been eliminated from the document, the nation was left wondering if the progressing romantic relationships between star players would be enough to hold a network audience's attention. Unfortunately, they were not.
The show pulled in a 0.87 rating in the 18 to 49-year-old demo with a total of 3.18 million views. Those numbers were down 10 and 1% from last week, respectively. The game also lost Tuesday night to NBC's The Voice, which drew a 1.1 in the demo with 7 million viewers. Numbers like these only serve to reinforce the producers' Machiavellian attempts to stir up drama because, as we know, money is what keeps the show going. Ratings make money, and it seems that villain edits and confrontations are what get those ratings.
Now let's move on to the top five gains chart for this star-studded season of BIP. Here are the top five Instagram gains for the players of Bachelor in Paradise Season 7 since Twibin last week. The gold medal in gains goes to Second Sand and Clickbait host Grocery Store Joe, aka GSJ. He gained 23,000 Instagram followers, bringing him to 811K total for his STCO for Kendall Long and his continued 4TRR chemistry play with Serena P. Will GSJ crack a million by the end of Paradise?
I think so. I think he's going to get an engagement, and I think that's going to put him over.
Or a heartbreak.
I think it's going to be an engagement.
I think you're right.
They're not even laying in like an attempt to make that relationship seem like it could fail at this point.
I don't think he's going to hit a million, though. We're at 811K. He only gained 23K this week.
He got 125K 1 week, though. I forget which week that was.
Yeah.
It might have been when he went after Conran and Alana Milne.
Yeah, maybe if he's the star of one of these upcoming episodes, but there's only two episodes left. So he needs...
I know.
What is that? 190K over 2 weeks?
Let's see him pull it out. He's also got the Power of Podcast behind him. We're going to see. But the silver medal in gains this week goes to 11th Sand and professional rivalman Aaron Clancy. He gained 21,000 new followers, bringing him to 156K total for his modeling mini date with Chelsea Vaughn, his continued colorful narration, and his hint at upcoming violence in his new rivalry with Ivan Hall.
The bronze medal in gains goes to 4th Sand, Serena Pitt. She gained 17K followers, bringing her to 267K total for her continued 4TRR chemistry play with clickbait host GSJ.
4th place goes to 7th Sand, clickbait host Natasha Parker. She gained 13,000 new followers for her painting and kiss play on her double date with Ed Weisbrot, bringing her to 466K total.
And 5th place in gains goes to someone who hasn't made our gains chart yet, 20th Sand and Aaron's right-hand man, James Bonsall. He gained 12K this week for his repeated 4TWR accusations, egging Aaron on to fight Ivan, and his streetlight painting play for his soulmate, Tia Booth. While he may have put Tia's vagina to sleep, he is not sleeping on those gains.
Hi-yo! Nice one. Honorable mention this week goes to 17th Sand and Pace Cases MVP, Marissa Gunn. She gained 10.4 thousand followers this week, bringing her to 83.1K total for her play of the game, LL3, her loaded PTC, her STCO, and coaxing out Riley's PTC and love level 3.
And the biggest loss in gains once again goes to 6th Sand and Villain Edit recipient Brendan Marias. He lost 5K for his Echo Bump 4TWR self-elimination, bringing him to 241K total. He's still hemorrhaging followers, although not at the same rate as the last couple of weeks.
And now let's discuss the big chart, the top five for September 23rd, 2021, as we record this. This chart has remained unchanged for the duration of the season until this week. Just kidding. It is still completely unchanged despite everything that has gone on. In the top spot, we still got the demigod herself, Demi Burnett. She is in the lead with 1.22 million Instagram followers, exactly the same that she came in with.
Number two, the first tropical royale, Becca Kufrin, has 1.209 million Instagram followers, only gained 3K this week.
And Tia Booth has 1.142 million followers. She gained 7K this week for her love triangle.
We dip out of the million club for fourth place as GSJ has 811K followers. First male sand and the protector of the process has gained 203K on sand.
And rounding out the top five is GSJ's ex-Paradise girlfriend, Kendall Long, at 617,000. She only gained 4,000 this week for her self-elimination exit bump. This is pretty fascinating to me that the top five have literally not changed all season. It's the same people in the same order. And granted, three of them are in the million club. They were so far ahead of anybody else on sand that maybe that's conceivable they would be in that position. But the fact that not even they have changed places, and some of them are close, like Becca Kufrin and Demigod, they're within 10,000 or so of each other.
I mean, maybe if they put Kuf in the document, she would change.
Yeah. Nonetheless, we are seeing a bunch of gains. There are a bunch of players who hit 100K this week. That's fantastic. That puts them in a new bracket for SpawnCon. But we're going to keep an eye on this and see if there are going to be any final changes to the top five chart in the last 2 weeks. I kind of don't think there's going to be. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Rooster Drew. I don't know. I don't think this is going to change.
Yeah, I'm curious. Sometimes we see huge gains at the end of the season, but none of these are anywhere close to the gains that we were seeing in the Paradises of Lore. Yore.
No, I know. This is definitely not like it was even a couple of seasons ago. And maybe things will turn around. I do think like there is a malaise on the game and its social media engagement at this point because of the bubble seasons. I feel like that really took the wind out of a lot of fans' sails. It certainly divided the nation straight down the middle. Maybe, I don't know what the numbers are on who was on which side of all the different scandals that have happened in the last 2 years. But I don't know. Maybe we're going to get back to it here with Michelle Young's season. But that rounds out this week in Gaines. And we hope you've enjoyed all of the Instagram movements of your favorite players. Now we're going to get to that portion of our program in which we discuss all of the juiciest tids.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered
Hell yes.
why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Hell yes. Well, unfiltered mineral water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And about 75% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine.
I thought it was 85%. And that's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation's a breeze, and it's unique. Quick release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, anybody listening to Gore right now can use code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up in Bachelor Nation News is Bachelor Season 26. The game is afoot. The players for the next season of The Bachelor have all reported for duty and are currently in the first phases of COVID quarantining and testing, with shooting of night one set for sometime next week. Although Reality Steve has posted the Instagrams of three potential players, we don't know for sure who any of them actually are. But we have heard some scuttlebutt that leads us to believe they will be kicking off this historic season back at the mansion. We still don't know what that means in terms of travel for the season, but shooting at the mansion certainly seems like the producers are making a concerted effort to return to the game as it was before the pandemic and the unfettered chaos of the bubble seasons. Whoever the incoming players are, we wish them all luck in their endeavors to boost their Instagrams, win rings, crowns, top four placements, and whatever else they might want to get out of the game.
This, for me, is the time of year where I finally kind of understand what football fans go through when it's like the preseason and the draft and all these things leading into the main season where I'm like, oh, fuck, it's happening. I know next week players are going to be playing the fucking game and we're going to have to wait until January to see what those plays are. But I don't know. I'm just a happier person when I know that The Bachelor is shooting.
Oh my God.
Now I know that's some deep pit shit, but what else would you expect?
You're screaming clues. You're screaming into my face.
Is that screaming? I don't know. I think it's valid.
Look, I completely agree. I never understood, you know, various people I have dated have been into sports and they would follow the preseason things and like know all this information. And now I'm like, oh, I totally get it. Like,
yeah,
we're going back to the mansion.
It's our sport. This is spring training. Speaking of players trying to get what they want out of the game, Brendan Marais is still in the news this week. Last week, Marais released a 7-minute and 14-second Instagram video entitled Paradise Apology, in which he tried his best to offer some damage control after his disastrous season of play in Paradise. While his Instagram bleed-off seems to have slowed for the time being, the video was not enough to stop Nordic Track from dropping Marais as a spokesperson for what they deemed to be inappropriate comments made about fellow player Natasha Parker. Marais had been actively doing SpawnCon for the personal fitness brand until an outraged group of followers took their complaints about his behavior in-game straight to the company and urged them to cut ties. The $7 billion corporate entity that owns the Nordic Track brand felt the negative attention was too detrimental to their bottom line, and they terminated their business agreement with Marais. To our knowledge, the only other time we've seen something like this was when Victoria Fuller's involvement with a brand called White Lives Matter lost her a potential valuable cover of Cosmo magazine that she won on a group date challenge in Bachelor season 24. And we did hear Jason Tardik mention some stuff on his podcast, Trading Secrets, about Hannah Brown losing some sponsorship after her N-word incident on Instagram Live. But I don't know what brands those were.
Speaking of corporate entities determining the financial fate of players in our beloved game, one player has decided to fight back against her unfair exploitation. The mother of Sleucian Protocol, Hannah Ann Sluss, is getting litigious. The season 24 FIMP recipient is suing the $350 billion all-purpose company Procter & Gamble for the continued use of her image to sell laundry detergent. Sluss filed suit against Procter & Gamble, CVS Pharmacy, Target, and Walmart. The suit claims that Procter & Gamble is still using her image to sell a line of products under their Downy brand well after their license for that image has expired. Sluss maintains she licensed one of her modeling photos to be used in conjunction with a single product from October 1st, 2017 to October 1st, 2019, but P&G has continued to use the image after her public profile exponentially grew from her time in game. We hope Sluss gets the money she's owed by these corporate behemoths, and we hope this might start a trend of players suing companies who have treated them improperly.
There's a bunch of companies out there who treat our players bad. I'm not going to name names, but some of them actually make the media that our players are in.
Wonder who that could be.
I don't know if this is going to set precedent, but the idea that players are starting to get hip to this thing that it's like, we're being fucking exploited and this is bullshit, and these companies that are worth hundreds of fucking billions of dollars, you know, they can settle with her for $1 million. They wouldn't even notice it. I'm sure she's not probably owed that for what they've done, but I hope she gets some money out of this. I truly do. Good luck to you, Sluss.
Me too.
And next up in Bachelor Nation news, this is our final piece of news this week. Michelle Young is back in the primary world. After a months-long hiatus from the only world that matters, While she was still shooting season 18 of The Bachelorette, Young pronounced her return to social media by posting a still image of the promo from her season with the caption, "This is one class you won't want to skip." The return of players and leads alike to social media is always a celebrated day in the nation because it means their season is right around the corner. Her post received 146,000 likes, and we personally could not be more ready to watch this historic season unfold. Welcome back to the real world, Michelle, and we wish you luck as you watch yourself through a screen starting October 19th.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
I can't either. Like last night, I woke up at probably, I don't know, it was like 2:30 or something. I no longer have clocks in my home. I just use my cell phone, so I don't ever really know what time it is. And I am kind of into it. It's pretty fun. But I woke up and I was like, I don't know what fucking time it is.
Sounds fun.
I like it. I was just staring into the darkness thinking about we're going to see a bachelor for the first time in a season of Bachelorette, knowing it's him when he steps out of the fucking limo.
I know. That, I mean,
I don't know how it's going to affect shit. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, we'll probably see him get an edit as good as Grocery Store Joe.
Do you think it's all going to be like no dialogue played on face? It's all just shit he's re-recorded. They've written for him to make him sound like incredible.
That's hilarious. We never see words come out of his mouth.
It's like he opens his mouth to speak and right before a sound comes out, it just cuts to the back of his head and you see Michelle Young like nodding and smiling. Oh, that's amazing.
There's just like a glow filter that's over the back of his head like he's an angel.
Yeah, what will his chyron say? Will it say the next bachelor? Ooh. Will it say his job?
No, I think it'll say his job. I think it'll say ex-NFL whatever, tight end.
He's a medical salesman or something, I think, now. Yeah, he was a tight end. But it's also strange. They haven't announced him officially. Everybody now, not everybody, but like anybody who's on the forums, let's say, we all know who the fuck this guy is, that he's the next bachelor, but they're not officially announcing it. How long are they going to drag that shit out? Are we going to be well into Michelle Young's season? Are they going to wait until he gets kicked off that season to announce?
I mean, if they haven't done it at this point, it makes me think they're waiting until he's kicked off.
Yeah, that's strange, right? I suppose. But we've already seen videos of him saying, "I'm the bachelor" in his hometown and shit. And the mayor, like, wishing him well on his journey. It makes no sense to hold it off for that long. Unless he gets eliminated relatively early. In which case, then it's also like they're kind of doing a Katie Thurston again. Somebody who doesn't get much screen time, they're going to give the crown to. I don't know if that works.
We should do official predictions for when we think he's going home. I think it's fourth place.
No shit. You think he makes it to hometowns?
So we can see his family.
God damn. I think it's way earlier than that. I think it's like 7th to 10th.
Wowie.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take under 7 then.
Okay, you take under 7, I'll take over.
Okay.
Great, locked in.
Game of Roses predictions.
Official prediction.
And that official bet rounds out this week in Bachelor Nation News. Now we're going to move on to discussion of all of those beautiful plays that our players are doing off the field using those Facebook products that we all love so much. This is
the Parasocial play of the week.
Our 18th Bachelor crown, Juan Pablo Galvez, hung out with his ring winner and ex-fiance, Nikki Farrell, and he posted a single image to his Instagram main grid of the pair. The caption reads, "Great 7 years of catching up at Nikki Farrell, nerd face emoji." The post has 25.2K likes, 280 comments, and it sparked news stories in Us Weekly and E! Online.
That's a nerd face emoji? I never knew that.
Isn't it? It's got glasses?
Sure. I think it's an accurate description. I just didn't know that was the name of it.
But how would you describe it?
Little glasses face, maybe? I don't know.
Glasses face? It's got like there's like a toothy smile to it.
Yeah, I think nerd face is good. Up next, Parasocial Plays. Damar Jackson posted a reel to Instagram asking his followers who they would have taken on a date. In it, he holds his date card and stands over a background of Lil Jon saying, "Choose someone to take on this date." Then he takes his hat off in front of a series of the female players, ultimately landing on Chelsea Vaughn. The video has 3.4K likes. I was one of them. I liked this video very much.
I liked it too. I like the attention to detail. I like that he's just, you know, he's lifting all the women up. Speaking of women he lifted up, Chelsea Vaughn posted her own Instagram main grid post this week, her Bachelor in Paradise intro video. She captioned it, "Me when I hear two guys are fighting over me on the beach." Crazy tongue out laughing face emoji. The video has 85.4K views and 11.6K likes. Good job, CV.
And in one of the most interesting Parasocial plays this week, influencer Danny Austin, who has 1.2 million Instagram followers, has started up another round of her Instagram series that she's calling Matchmaker, in which she sets up a bachelor-style game of dating attrition for her brother. And she's doing this once again. This series comes complete with high production value, music, voiceover, an entire cast of women ready to date Nashville native and aspiring musician Landon Austin. The most recent installment featured a guest appearance by Nashville Ring winner himself, Jed Wyatt. He was the private musical performer on a one-on-one date during this Instagram story. Or it's an Instagram reel.
Wowie.
Each of these videos is garnering over 500,000 views as Austin develops a loyal audience for her version of The Bachelor, only available on Instagram. We haven't tracked the gains of the players of this game, but we're left wondering, by season 5 or 10 of this series, will Austin be able to usurp The Bachelor itself as the premier parasocial dating sport? Time will tell. And if her brother winds up with one of these players in a committed relationship, who then will she be doing the matchmaking for? I think she's going to find someone else because this is an incredibly popular series for her.
She's going to do her own casting process.
Yeah. I mean, she already does for the players for her brother. She'll then just have to find a new bachelor. Will it be somebody like Mike Johnson? Will it be somebody that the nation always wanted to be a bachelor and he never got the chance?
Will it be someone in the pit? Apply.
Might as well at this point.
Knife sand. Jesenia Cruz made a very strong parasocial play this week. She posted a selfie of herself in front of a white, all-white background on her Instagram main grid. The caption reads, "Here's where it all started. A selfie taken moments before my first interview for The Bachelor. I was jobless thanks to the pandemic. I went through a breakup that honestly crushed me, and I was a month shy from overcoming depression, the last thing I ever expected to go through. But I was open to whatever came my way. My experience on the show, however, was like a double-edged sword. I'm lucky to now have friends from all over that I consider family. This experience brought us together, and I'm grateful for the relationships we continue to nurture. I was able to explore romantic connections and learn to open my heart again. I feel grateful to the people online who have been supportive and kind. Most of all, I feel blessed to know that this experience has changed me in the best way. I was also subjected to a lot of hate. I knew what I was signing up for, sleuthing protocol, she didn't write that, but it never occurred to me that it meant I could be misunderstood and criticized, and much less did I ever expect to be attacked online for being a brown Latina. Some of that hate reeks with racial or sexist microaggressions. I can't be angry without being called vindictive. I can't cry without being called manipulative. I can't be emotional without being called dramatic. And there's no room for mistakes. Whatever I said or did, or any way I reacted, any facial expression I made was broken down into the worst possible assumptions. And I have to admit that it was the hardest thing to accept. The truth is that you'll never really know us, and you'll never know the whole story behind the moments of the drama that play out on screen. It's disheartening to see people set their opinions of me, which are oftentimes influenced by others. Some are much more direct with their hate, and I hope those people, including the ones who have been hateful towards fellow contestants, reflect on their behavior. I'm happy to finish this chapter. It's been fun and emotional, but it was an extraordinary experience, and I'm ready for whatever's next. Heart emoji." I love this swan song exit post, littered with praising the process, but also PTCs, some PTCs caused by the process. And this post has 24.4K likes and 458 comments.
The part in it that she is talking about how her facial expressions were broken down and analyzed and critiqued by all the players, that really reminds me of professional sports, especially now we're at a point where a quarterback dropping back, like the angle of his foot will be overanalyzed by fans and sportscasters and whatever. And we're getting to a point in our beloved game where every little thing a player does in game will be analyzed like this, just like a sport. Moving on to the next parasocial play, we're going to be talking about some cringe. The cringe king is kinging. Bennett Andrew Jordan made a joint play this week with his paramour, Emily Chen. They both simultaneously posted videos of themselves dancing on top of a video of their partner. In Jordan's video, he dances on top of a video of Chen, who is herself dancing, and the caption reads, "When your fantasy dream girl becomes a reality." Dancing lady emoji, dancing man emoji. Check out Emily Chen's yoga version and let me know which one you like better. crazy laughing, smiling face emoji.
I personally prefer Chen's version. She booty drops in a bathrobe on top of a video of Jordan walking to camera shirtless. His video has 3.8K likes and 69 comments.
We've known for a while now that, in my opinion, he's the unopposed cringe king. He is so powerful in the subgenre of cringe. He has now been able to not only conscript a partner in cringe, he has made this his romantic partner as well. Their relationship, at least from an outsider's perspective, is based on mutual cringe content. What a dream.
I'm obsessed with this series of videos.
As am I. This shit has captured my attention in a way few things ever have. I am anxiously awaiting their next cringe.
I also just like that he doesn't skirt around the fact he's trying to get her more followers. He's like, go follow her. Check out her video. Let us know. Yeah. Like, he's not like just tagging her in it subtly. Like, oh, I hope they'll follow her. Yeah.
He's straight boosting. This is straight gameplay through and through. I love them as a couple. They are fucking perfect. I will watch everything they do. Moving on. The third audience got into the parasocial game this week by issuing a direct challenge to Pace Case herself. They posted an official ABC promotion photo of Michelle's season in which Michelle Young is standing in a gold dress next to and resting her hand on what? A decorative ladder. I couldn't believe this shit.
I have a scream that is related to this, but I will get to it later. But I had countless people send this to me, tag me in it, and I feel like I'm losing my mind. I feel like I'm a person who saw an alien and no one believes me.
I believe you.
That doesn't give me the level of comfort I think you think it gives.
Well, sorry, I'm just trying to support you. But when I saw this fucking picture, aliens aside, when I saw this picture, I was like, look, I know it's crazy to say they're trolling us, but what the fuck? It's her and a ladder. There's nothing else in the picture. Why is she resting her hand on a fucking ladder?
It looks, there's no reason for the ladder to be in there. There's so many ladders. There's so many ladders in every scene of Bachelor in Paradise at this point. I'm like, they have quadrupled their ladders since Thurston season. I don't know what is happening. Or they're just moving them around behind every scene.
Well, we got another season coming up October 19th. If Michelle Young's season of Bachelorette is as filled with ladders as these most recent two have been, that post, I just can't, like the post we're talking about here is...
It will be.
I think it's trolling. I think they're trolling you. I literally think that.
I don't know. We'll see if she's posing with a squirrel next.
Well, speaking of trolling, you weren't the only person trolled. Connor the Catman B was a victim of producer trolling this week. He made a tweet regarding the latest episode of Paradise, and it read, okay, but I just realized they dead ass are playing my ukulele audio over this scene, crying emoji, laughing, crying emoji. It's an acoustic ditty I wrote in quarantine, and I was freaking out because I thought Dr. Joe wrote the exact same melody. Then I realized, hashtag Bachelor in Paradise, crab emoji. This tweet has 2.2K likes and 40 retweets, but it reveals a little bit of the producer's technique that they're just going to take audio from Connor the Catman B and play it directly over Joe Park. If that's an original song he created, I don't know what the songwriting rights issues are within the nation. I'm sure the contract they signed says anything you create within the show, we own 100% and can do whatever the fuck we want with. But technically speaking, he should be getting a little bit of money for that.
Nothing we are watching in the document is real. Can Dr. Joe even play the ukulele?
I don't know.
The real audio, maybe he's just like playing random noises. It's horrible.
And then the producers probably told him to go do it because they knew they were going to put that audio under it. None of it is real, ladies and gentlemen.
But you know what is real? An upcoming pre-baby. Jared Iaconetti posted a 3-image Instagram post of his pre-baby with Ashley Iaconetti of their ultrasound images. The caption reads, 20-week ultrasound, our family, heart emoji. The post has 78.6K likes and 519 comments. Still no tag for this pre-baby. Maybe we have to find it on Instagram Youth.
Maybe Facebook has teamed up with the Iaconettis and they're going to launch Instagram Youth with the Iaconetti pre-baby.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be brilliant. I hope that happens. All of these were great plays, of course, but there can only be one winner. And this week, our winner for Parasocial Play of the Week was KT Thurston. The most recent crown made a TikTok and Instagram TV post video in which she lets her ring winner, the Boner Smith from the North, Blake Moyne, do her makeup. The 3-minute Instagram video has 59.7 thousand likes and 907 thousand views, more than many network television shows at this point.
Thurston is still proving why she's one of the best parasocial players of all time. I loved this video. It was hilarious.
It was one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen. He just keeps fucking up and like putting more makeup on her face to try and cover up the fuck ups. And she's being such a good sport about it, just like laughing through the whole fucking thing. Ah, goddamn. This really was one of the most entertaining videos, other than my personal favorite, of course, is Bennett, the Cringe King Jordan. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole different thing. This was not cringe. This was just straight funny. Hats off to KT Thurston and Blake Moynes for this amazing parasocial work.
And we have a parasocial error of the week. As of the time of this recording, 37th Sand Ed Weisbrot still has not produced the parasocial evidence of him being into face paint as a child.
He's missing a massive opportunity here. He could have gotten huge engagement from that. Call your parents, Ed. Get that photo. Put it on Instagram. And this week, we are giving out an award for the parasocial creature of the week. It's a dual award given to two creatures who have gotten this award before and probably will get some more of these awards in the future. We are talking about
goat creatures.
They are. They are not only goat creatures in their own right, but they are creatures of one of the goats. We are talking about Pino and Ramen, Caitlin Bristow's dogs. They chew up her brand new Givenchy slides. And in return, they got a spot on her Instagram stories being very bad dogs, but very cute at the same time. And it paid off parasocially. Congrats to Pino and Ramen. Hope to see you again in this category very soon. And that wraps up all of the parasocial plays from this week. Now it is time for Pace Case and I to cut our ropes and fall straight down. There is nothing to fear. You will never hit the ground. There is no ending here.
Is this a little preview?
Maybe.
We're almost through the second month of this year, but that doesn't mean that you should forget about those New Year's resolutions, your new goals, especially your skincare goals. Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results. And your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty. I've been using this stuff. Look at me. Look at my face, Pace Case.
You're glowing.
How young do I look? Tell me. Tell me the number.
That's a Pace Case glow. You look like a little baby.
Thank you. That's the look I'm going for. And I put the stuff on at night, Dime's eye cream. And then they have a dewy day cream that I also use. And this is the result.
I've literally never used a moisturizer before. Mm-hmm. I've always had oily skin. But now it's getting to that time. And I made one of my New Year's resolutions to be to do my skincare routine. And I'm using the dewy day cream in the morning. I keep it on the left. Using the restorative night cream, I keep it on the right. It's bim, bam, boom. I know which one to use. And now my face is moisturized all the time. And it's so nice.
You look like a baby as well.
Thank you. I was waiting for it. A little slow. But this takes the guesswork out of the routine. So this is part of the work system, the two moisturizers. There's also a sold out retinol alternative, the TBT cream. I can't wait to try that one as well. Dime has over 2 million happy customers and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars.
This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this seven-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is
Screams from the Pit.
My scream this week is I bought a bicycle. My new hobby, bought it from a friend. I'm still practicing. I'm not very good. But I went into my nearby town earlier this week and I see a woman walking the sidewalk carrying a gigantic decorative ladder on her back. And I was like, you know, I started to spiral out as one would. And then hours later, I see the same woman sitting eating at a restaurant and she still has the ladder there. Like it's like her dog that she is bringing around town. And that combined with the Michelle Young promos, I feel like I'm fully losing it. The ladders are starting to follow me around. The pit is everywhere. I need to buy a ladder, I think. I don't have one.
But it could also be a thing that's like, you know, that phenomenon when you buy a red car, you see red cars everywhere. And it's just become more aware of it, you know?
Yeah, it could be.
Could be that. Like if you would have seen somebody carrying a ladder a year ago, you wouldn't have clocked it. You wouldn't have had that memory and been like, holy shit, there's another person with a ladder. I think now you're just hyper aware of it. But I'm not saying that exonerates what is happening in Michelle Young's Instagram and shit. I do think that's active trolling of you.
I don't know. Is it active trolling or are the prop people just obsessed with ladders? They're the ones that put a million of them in Kay Thurston's season to begin with that started me down this ladder hole.
That picture with Michelle Young, I'm sorry. It's her standing next to a ladder with her fucking hand on it. That's not a prop person for the show. That's their marketing department. This is, if it is the prop people have obsessions with ladders, so does the marketing department, so does the publicity. Like, they're all in it together.
You're right. It's a different department.
They're in a ladder cult. I don't know.
By the way, my other scream, which is probably more relevant, is that I realized I had sort of blocked this memory out, but I had a cavity filled by a Bachelor player many years ago.
I think you mentioned this.
I mentioned it on our Patreon live.
Right, right.
It was Chris Strandberg, who arrived in a Grandy that was a cupcake.
Yeah, I remember that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. I feel like that's a...
Thank you.
A brush with greatness.
A piece of the game is in my mouth.
Wow. Yeah, that's really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats. Jesus. My scream's not going to live up to that at all, but I'll do my best. Are you ready?
No.
I saw Kenny Brash's cock. Yeah. It's something I didn't really want to do.
Why?
I'm going to be honest with you. Well, as you know.
Why?
I run a Instagram account called Bachelor Clues where I make a bunch of memes that have to do with our beloved game. And in this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise, Kenny Brash and Mari Pepin got naked and they put tacos on each other and sour cream. And so I was going to make a very wholesome fake Taco Bell ad for sour cream tacos that was going to have pictures of both of them naked, and I was going to put sour cream on them, but naked from the show. I was trying to find images from the show of them naked. So I just Googled Kenny Brash naked, and the first thing that pops up is a picture of him completely naked with his dick right there. Right there. And it wasn't the only picture. There are like 10 of these pictures in different positions where he's fully naked. You see his genitals front and center. And I have witnessed that now. I hadn't before.
Like, I had heard about these images before. So for me, I would personally not purposely Google that. Mm-hmm. Did you know about these images before?
I knew he had done some nude modeling, but I assumed it was just like shots of his ass or something. I didn't literally think it was going to be like him standing there with his dick out. It's not porn per se, but he's definitely fully naked. I just wasn't prepared for it.
Do you feel changed?
You know, the strange part about it is it's not the first dick I've seen from Bachelor Nation. When Chad Johnson first started his Patreon account, people sent us pictures.
Not Patreon.
Or sorry, his OnlyFans. Let me not get that confused. When he started his OnlyFans, people were sending us pictures of him naked. And I was just like, I don't want this. Please stop sending me this shit. And I felt in some ways the same kind of violation that was like, I'm just looking for a picture of this guy naked to make my meme. I thought it was going to be from the show. I thought that would be the most common thing that popped up. Certainly, I didn't realize it was just going to be right there. Genitals right in your goddamn face. But now I've seen that.
At least when you first said this, I was like, oh no, someone sent it to you. But at least this is something you did to yourself. I feel less bad.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's my fault, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wish there was some kind of a warning or something. You know, when you Google that and the picture pops up, I wish there was some, like, if you click this next button, you're going to see this man's penis. I wish there was something that told me that. There was nothing that told me that. I just saw it.
You want a safe space.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, this is what I do in service of the pit. I made the meme and I used the picture.
But the PG-13 version.
Yeah, I blocked it out. Obviously, you can't put that on Instagram. I made it a little more classy. But that was my scream from the pit. I have now seen two Bachelor Nation players' penises in full view. And now we're going to move on to a third scream from this pit. This scream was submitted through our Patreon accessible Discord channel, where anybody can sign up on our Patreon, patreon.com/gameofroses. You get into our Discord, you can submit your screams, and we play the best ones here in Screams from the Pit during Twibbon. This one comes to us from someone named Mad Pro. Are you ready for this scream, Pace Case?
Let's hear it.
Pace Case and Clues, I found the literal bottom of the pit, I promise you. So it's about masturbation. All right, I'm going to be such a Katie and talk about whacking off really fast. But I never really knew what my ritual was with masturbating. Like, I don't know what to watch or what to listen to. Porn is just way too distracting and takes me out of it, whatever. Then comes Justin Long on Nick Vow's podcast, and he starts saying all the right things. He's being hilarious. He's calling out GSJ's hypocrisy. He's pushing back on Nick's opinions. He's calling out the 4TRR lie. He's being an appropriate devil's advocate on behalf of Brennan and Piper, and it worked. It got me there. It was very sexy. And it turns out Bachelor recaps that I agree with is my kink. It's just too disturbing to share it with anyone. I mean, even as a scream from the pit, I'm like, this is probably very weird for you guys because you're like, wow, are we next on this list? But yeah, so sorry. The pit provides.
Ooh, we got a lot of sexy screams this week.
Well, I mean, you know, to each their own. Whatever works for you, works for you. I wish you well in your pursuit to find more Bachelor recaps that you agree with, Mad Pro. Justin Long is interesting. I didn't hear him on that podcast, so I can't really comment. But we thank you for submitting this scream. You know, if anything, I agree with you. The pit does provide. That's evidenced here. Mm-hmm. This has enhanced your life, it seems like. So I think at the very least, your time in the pit is a good thing.
I think the only option here is you have to convince Justin Long to start his own Bachelor podcast.
How is that done?
How else are you going to get more content?
Excuse me, Justin Long. I heard you on Nick Vial's podcast, and I just really liked what you had to say. Would you please do it every day?
I really need you to recap the next Bachelorette season. I can't say why.
Yeah. It'll just personally help me out a lot. But thank you, Mad Pro. This is a fantastic scream from the pit. One of the most interesting, perhaps, that we've ever heard.
Yeah.
So thanks again for submitting it. And again, if anybody else wants to submit their screams to the pit, you can just go to patreon.com/gameroses, join our Discord, and hit that Screams from the Pit channel and drop your scream in there. And hopefully we'll get some more that are similar to this, I guess. This was very funny. But that's it. That wraps up this week in Bachelor Nation. Thank you, everyone, for listening to all of our screams, all those tids, all those parasocial plays, all those gains. That's State of the World. And thank you to everyone who has pre-ordered a book and continues to jump in on howtowinthebachelor.com, where you can potentially win an autographed copy, a t-shirt, some Zoom time with us, or a very special mystery prize. And before we go, as always, what is that dwabat?
It has been 7,123 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be our beloved game.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then